Last week, we saw Moses commissioned by the Lord from a burning bush. You guys might remember that he turned aside, saw the bush burning, not consumed. That got his attention. Then the Lord began to speak to Moses from the burning bush. And the Lord told him to go to Pharaoh and to plead for the release of the Hebrews. He also said that Pharaoh would not release them without a fight. And if you've read through this ever before, you know that that's certainly the case. I would like to also remind you that the Lord basically told Moses that he would take care of it all. And that really all Moses needed to do was just be obedient. To just do what the Lord had asked him to do. Now, again, that is a lesson to me to just do what the Lord asks me to do and leave the results up to Him. I believe that that is what the psalmist, King David, meant in Psalm 51 when he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you desired the blood of the rams and the goats, I would give it. But what you want from me is just a humble and a contrite heart. Meaning, you have to be humble in order to do what God asks you to do without arguing with Him about it. Just say, okay, Lord, well, if you're asking me to do it, then you must have a reason and a purpose. So therefore, I will just do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But you know, I think we're going to find tonight that a lot of us are like Moses. Even though the Lord gives us plenty of reason to believe that He's in it, even though He gives us plenty of reason to believe that if we just leave it in His hands, it'll work out okay. We have a lot of, but what ifs? But Lord, what if? But Lord, why if this happens? But Lord, why if that happens? But basically, He told Moses, Moses, I'm going to free my people. I'd just like you to go along and enjoy it. I'd like for you to go along and be my spokesperson. I'd like for you to go along and see what all I'm going to do through you. God could have picked anyone else. He picked Moses. I believe that God is in the process of picking some of us in this church specifically. And I believe that He's picking us to a greater work, to do a greater work, to be involved in a greater work, to step in a little closer, to experience Him on a whole new level. In another depth, in another quality in our Christian walk. And I think that for some of us, He's probably been speaking that to us for a while, but we're too afraid to do it. When the Lord has said it to us, we've said something similar to what Moses said. Well, you know, I think you got the wrong guy. Or the wrong gal. You know, you probably mean so-and-so. You probably mean the one sitting next to me, the one behind me, or the one in front of me. Your radar is a little off, you know? You just missed me by a row. You know, you got me, but you really didn't mean me. You mean the other one sitting next to me. And the Lord would say, no, I mean you. I'm calling you to step in closer. I'm calling you to allow me to work in your life to a greater degree than I've ever worked. Because you see, the reason I know this is because God is not limited. There is absolutely not one thing that God cannot do. And you see, He wishes to further His kingdom, and He's willing to use willing vessels. In fact, it says, Scripture says He searches to and fro, trying to find someone who's willing to do His will. So I know He wants to use you to a greater degree than possibly you've ever let Him use you. You see, the only thing that's limited is my ability. My ability to let God do the work. I'm a lot like Moses. Well, Lord, I can't do that. The Lord says, what do you mean you can't do that? It doesn't matter if you can do it or not. I can. But Lord, I can't say that. Well, it doesn't matter if you can say it or not. I can. But Lord, I don't have the experience in doing that. Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. I do. But Lord, I don't have the strength or the power to do that. That's okay. I'm God. I've got the strength. I'll do it. You see, I've got a million of those excuses, and they allow me to say, no, God, I think you got the wrong person. You need to take someone else. And it's kind of like I can just go, whew. Now, this doesn't mean there won't be bumps in the road. When God calls us out, calls us in, calls us further, calls us deeper, it doesn't mean that it's all going to be smooth sailing. It doesn't mean that you're not going to run up against some obstacles. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some things in your path. But what ends up happening is if we ever get to the place where we say, okay, Lord, I'll try. If we ever even get to that place, the first sign of a bump, we go, oh, it wasn't your will. This is too tough. This is too hard. Because if it was really God, it wouldn't be hard, would it? If God is going to do, if he's going to free his people, surely Pharaoh won't get in the way, will he? I mean, if God's really going to free the people, why doesn't he just take Pharaoh out? Why doesn't he make the path very, very easy for Moses so Moses can just walk in and say, okay, Israel, come on, let's go. Time to go. But you see, each step of the way is a step of faith for Moses. The lesson here is not for God. God's God. The lesson is for Moses. The lesson is to teach the vessel to trust in God. So there has to be a few bumps in the road for Moses to grow, for Moses to develop, for Moses to become the spiritual leader that he needs to be. He needs to run against a few obstacles. He needs to come up against them and then watch God do his thing. And as he watches God do his thing, his faith increases and he realizes it's not even about him. It's not about his limitations. It's not about his abilities. It's about God. And it's about the only ability it's about is the ability to just get out of the way. And I think that's probably pretty hard for us. It's just to get out of the way. Let the Lord do what he wants to do and somehow manage to just stay out of the way. God promises success. Because he promises to do the fighting himself. But he lets Moses know it's not going to be, Pharaoh's not going to give up without a fight. And lastly, at the close of our teaching last week, the Lord told Moses that not only would Pharaoh eventually relent and let the people go, but the Egyptians would finance the trip. You guys might remember that. That very last couple verses in Exodus 21:22, when it says, I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of gold and silver and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and your daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. So basically, not only am I going to call my people out of Egypt, not only am I going to be victorious, and you're going to get to see this all happen, but basically they're going to finance your trip. They're going to put gold and silver on you and give you clothing and everything, and you guys are actually going to plunder the Egyptians. So I've been watching what you're going through all of these years, and I have not been silent. I have not been not working. It's not that I have not heard your prayers, but I've been in the process of working this all out to show you a great miracle in this deliverance. Moses has a few more objections, though. Take a look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Moses said, but what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord hasn't appeared to you. Remember when he asked the Lord what he was going to tell the Hebrews, because he knew that they were going to ask him, where do you get the authority to do this? Where do you get off doing this? Who called you to be the leader of the Hebrews after all these years? Who put you in charge? Moses knew they were going to ask him. And remember the Lord's reply? He says, you just go down and tell them that I am sent you. And we talked about that seeming very simple, but in reality, how could he say it any different? He always has been. He always will be. He's God. Therefore, he said, tell him that the pre-existent one, the all-existent one, the forever existing one, tell him that God, just so you know, the real McCoy, tell him that the real McCoy sent you. I am sent you. Well, Lord, what do I tell them when they say, he hasn't told you that? And by the way, guys, when you take a step in, when you move in, there's going to be somebody in your life that will say, God didn't call you in. You know, God didn't ask you to move in deeper. You know, who are you, Mr. High and Mighty, Mr. Spiritual? Now, when you decide that you're not going to party with your friends, somebody, one of them is going to go, oh, who died and made you God? Who made Mr. Self-Righteous, Mrs. Self-Righteous? And it might even be a member of your own family when you decide to quit playing at your faith and really become committed in the Lord. You may even have somebody that you've partied with or watched movies with that you shouldn't have watched or did something with them, and they may be the very ones that make fun of you. Verses 2 through 5, and then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand, Moses? And he said, a staff. Some of your interpretations will say a rod. It's a traditional shepherd's staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. Moses fled from it. He was afraid of it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grab it by its tail. Well, you don't grab a snake by its tail. You know, you don't grab a snake by its tail. Why? Because it'll come back around and it'll get you. If you've watched any Channel 8 and you've seen any snake handlers, they grab them by the back of the head, right? Right? Any nature channels, they grab them by the back of the head. They sneak up on them, grab them by the back of the head so that they can't move their head in any direction and hurt anyone. You don't grab them by the tail. God's going to ask you to do some things that aren't going to make sense to you. There's going to be tests of your faith, of whether you will trust him or not. Grab the serpent by the tail. So he stretched out his hand and he caught it and immediately became a staff in his hand again. And then the Lord says, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. So it's a rather rhetorical question. Moses and the Lord both knew what was in his hand. But the Lord wanted to show him that a simple staff in God's hand is much different than it is in Moses' hands. A simple education is much different in God's hands than it is in yours. A humble upbringing means much more in God's care than it does in your care. A failed background in God's hands means a much different thing to him than it does to you. In fact, sometimes the more of a failure you are, the more of a failure that you feel like, the more you're a prime candidate for God to do an awesome thing in your life because you've been humbled. Sometimes when you're humbled to the point where you're stripped of everything, you've got nothing left but God, you are a perfect candidate for God to do miracles because you got nowhere to go but to the Lord. Moses, what do you got in your hand? Oh, it's just this rod. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, Moses. No, 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 no. Not when I'm in charge. That stuttering, that problem you think you've got, that timidity that you think you have, you can't go share with people, you think you can't do this, you think you could never get up in front of people and speak. None of that means anything when I'm in charge of your life. I can do awesome things in your life if you'll just let me. And it's not until you let go of it, it's not until you throw it away that I give it back. It's been that way in my life many, many, many times. When I care too much about something, God can't use it. When I finally let go of it, He goes, okay, now I can use it. It's not until you and I die to it. We give up. We quit. Then God's finally able to do a miracle through that thing without you and I touching it and taking some of the glory of it. Throw it down, Moses, and watch what happens. You see, that rod in Satan's hand could be an instrument of destruction. It could be used to bash somebody in the head and kill them. But in God's hands, it became a miracle. Think of it this way. A dollar bill. You could take a dollar. I don't know if I've got a dollar. Beck doesn't let me have any money. Okay, it's a little more than a dollar. But okay, you take a dollar. A dollar bill can be used to buy drugs. It could be used to purchase a murder. You wouldn't get much of a murder for $10, but, you know, it could be part of the whole, right? It could be used to buy a prostitute. But the same dollar submitted to God's work and God's will can further His kingdom. It might actually see a little one come to know Jesus because you helped purchase a Bible that they read, that they got saved in, and they might become the next Billy Graham, and thousands of people could get saved because of that $1. You see, it all depends on whose hand it's in. That's why your resources are always better in God's hands than they are in your hands. And when I talk about resources, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your intellect. I'm talking about your emotions. I'm talking about your homes, your cars, your children, everything. They are much safer in God's hands. And yes, even your inadequacies, even your failures, even your what ifs, they're better in God's hands than they are in ours. I think this is also a validation. I think the Lord knows that Moses is a little insecure here and needs some sort of validation, so He gives him a miracle. And He shows him once again, Moses, it's nothing to do with you. It's a rod in your hands. In my hands, it's a miracle. So the battle belongs to me, not you. The success or failure of this mission is not resting upon your shoulders, it's resting upon my shoulders. The success or failure is only if you will allow me to do it. That's the only place success or failure lies with you. So to the degree that you will let God work in your life is the degree of which you will be used of God. There's some of you here, you need to go to Bible college. Now, I'm not saying everyone should, but some of you should. Some of you need to be involved in mission work. Some of you need to be willing, just willing. Please don't say, but I couldn't do that. But I can't. But Lord, I couldn't do that. Sometimes maybe you're like me, the way I was raised, where very few people in my family got an education, so you naturally assume you can't either. You assume that you can't succeed because maybe people in your family haven't succeeded. Guys, it's just simply not true. God wants to do awesome things in our life. But He goes on to reassure Moses even further. Look at 6 through 9. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow, white, leprous. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. And he pulled his hand out, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed or witness of the first sign, then they may believe this last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And when the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on that dry ground. Moses, I'll give you one, I'll give you two, I'll give you three miracles. Three tremendous, miraculous weapons dumped into Moses' arsenal just like that. Just like that. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. Turns aside to see what God has to say, listens to what the Lord has to say. God calls him out. He's afraid to go. And yet God says, here's three massive weapons for you to fight your war. Now, I think perhaps Moses, 40 years younger, would have been biting at the bit to go try out the new miracles. Now, come on, be honest. Wouldn't you be tempted? Hey, look at what I can do. Look at this staff, man. Pick it up. Look at this. You know, mess with me? I'll throw the serpent at you, man. I would be like, you know, in your younger years, you'd be knocking on the door of Pharaoh. Hey, let me in. I got some things to show you. You know, you'd be doing the stuff, you know, getting a little water out of the Nile and sprinkling blood. You'd be doing something, you'd be trying out the miracles. And I think a younger, more naive Moses would have been doing that. But instead, he's still not sure. Moses still has some reservations. Now, you and I are thinking, well, what else is it going to take? Come on, be honest. How many times has God done things in your life that were almost as miraculous as this, and you still said, but Lord, give me another sign. But Lord, tell me again. Reassure me. You know, reassure me that you're going to be there. Before I take this step, Lord, tell me you love me one more time. Verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the time past, nor since you've spoken to your servant. For I am slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. He's saying, but Lord, aren't you going to need someone who can talk right? I've never been able to talk right. I got to go to the court of the Pharaoh. Wouldn't you want somebody that could put a couple sentences together and sound like they weren't some hick? And Lord, I've never been able to really speak in the past, and I haven't been able to speak now. And guess what, Lord? Even since you spoke to me in the burning bush, you didn't fix this. I mean, I would think if you're going to call me to do this, when I saw you in the bush, all of a sudden, pew, I would have been eloquent. But no, you didn't do that. So Lord, aren't you sure? Are you sure it's me? I mean, don't you have somebody else? I know of at least a couple dozen people that speak better than I do. I know of a couple dozen people that are more educated than me. I know a couple dozen people that are more qualified than I am. Lord, why won't you use them? Are you sure it's me? You see what Moses is having a hard time understanding is not about him. It's about God. If the Lord's calling you to move in closer, it's a little about you, but a lot about him. It's for the purpose of furthering his kingdom. It's for the purpose of seeing people come to know him. Now, you'll get blessed along the way. Moses is going to see things he's never seen before. Moses is going to do things he never thought possible. Moses is going to be used of the Lord in ways he never dreamed that he would be used of the Lord this way. But it's really not about Moses. Moses will come and go. John Brown's will come and go. Whatever your name is, will come and go. But God is eternal. He'll always be there. So God's trying to tell Moses, it's really not about you, Moses. But in all honesty, when God calls you and asks you to do something, isn't it all about us? But Lord, how about my income? But Lord, how about my job? But Lord, how, what will people think of me? But Lord, how about, how, but it's all about us. When God begins to call us to do something, it's all about us. And I think God's pretty patient. We see it here with Moses. His patience starts to draw a little thin, but he's pretty patient with us. The Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? And who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, said the Lord? Now then, go. And I, even I, will be your mouth. And I will teach you what you are to say. But he said, Lord, please, please, send somebody else. And look at that. But Lord, please now, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. You know what that means? But just not me. Lord, you got a whole universe to pick. Please don't make it me. Pick somebody else to do this. The Lord tells Moses, if you need a mouth, I'll be your mouth. If you need ears, I'll be your ears. If you need a tongue, I'll be your tongue. If you need a throat, I'll be your throat. If you need a voice, I'll be your voice. Moses is not about you. Moses is not about you. Moses, it's about me. Whatever you think you lack, I'll make up. I'll do it. It's a promise and it's a guarantee. I'll do it if you'll just give me a chance, Moses. You know what? Moses is looking for a security blanket. He's looking for a security blanket. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's say God's calling you out to take a step of faith. Maybe he's calling you out to go on a mission or to minister somewhere. Why, if he said, if you'll do it, I'll make sure you have $100,000 a year. We would all be lined up. Right? All of a sudden now, we are great men and women of faith. I could see God doing this. Yeah, I have to work, quit my job. I can see God doing this. What would it be? What would your security blanket be? Would it be money? Would it be money? If God said, okay, I'll make sure that you're financially taken care of so you don't have to worry about this. Would you go? Would you do it? Would you take the next step? Whatever it is that God's asking you to do? Okay, maybe it's not money for you. Maybe it's childcare. If God said, I will get you the best possible child care and I'll make sure your kids are taken better care of than when you take care of them, would you go then? Would that be it? Would you say, okay. Maybe it's a car. But God, I can't drive. I need to be able to drive. I don't have a car. If you're going to call me to do this, I've got to have a way to be able to get to and from. If God said, hey, I'll give you a brand new BMW every year, would you say, sure. What is your security blanket? What is it that God would have to do for you before you'd say yes? How many of you know that what we think we need is not always what we need? How many of you know that what we think we need is not always what's best for us? The Lord's going to give Moses his security blanket. But he'd have been better off not to ask for it. He would have been better off without it. Exodus 4, 14 through 17. When the anger of the Lord burned, or then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put words in his mouth. And I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as a God to him, translated master. You will be as a master to him. You will be the one, you will be kind of the high priest for him. You will interpret what I say to you, it's supposed to go back to him, and whatever he says, you'll bring back to me. In other words, you're going to be his master. I'm going to be the one that has the direct connection with you. And you shall take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs. Aaron was Moses' security blanket. But the Lord didn't need Aaron to accomplish this task. Moses didn't need Aaron to accomplish this. In fact, Aaron will later be responsible for the orgy and the golden calf party while Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. What we think we need is not always what's best for us. What we think we want is not always good for us. In the King James, Amos 3:3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Also in King James, from Matthew 12:25, Jesus knew their thoughts and he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction or desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Remember, he just got through saying in verse 15 of Exodus 4, "You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and even I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, what you speak, you're supposed to speak as one voice." And that's not to be your voice. That's not to be Aaron's voice. That is to be my voice. You see, Moses was commissioned by the Lord to be the leader of the Hebrews, not Aaron. Moses saw the burning bush, not Aaron. Moses had the first-hand encounter with God, not Aaron. Moses had been given the miracles to fight with Pharaoh, not Aaron. The Lord wanted them to be one voice, but they're coming from two different places. And the Lord knows that. God wanted to do a miracle through Moses without Aaron, using the humble and the simple things of this world to confound the wise. The greater miracle would have been for God to let Moses do it. Guys, God is going to do some awesome things in some of your lives. And here's the point. The more humble we are, the greater the miracle. The most unlikely candidate is the one that's going to bring the greater honor to the Lord. Close with this. With the Lord, all things are possible. Please, please. And you know what, guys? I'm not preaching to you. I have to remind myself of this all the time because I do the what ifs too. Sometimes I cannot wrap my pea brain around the fact of how big God is. Sometimes I can't wrap my head around what He wants to do with us or with even me or with this church in our city. Guys, there's people that are hurting. Jesus came to set the captives free. If you don't know Jesus and you don't have Jesus, what do you have? Drugs, alcohol, and sex. That's all you got. If you don't have Jesus, now let's be honest, guys. If you don't have Jesus, why not do those things? Can you blame anyone for being caught up in those things if they don't have Jesus? That's all they got, right? Because they believe that you're just going to party and die. So in a weird, distorted kind of sense, it makes sense to them. But for you and I, we know there's a Savior. We know there's an eternity. We know there's life after this. So for you and I, we know that Jesus makes all the difference. And many of you sitting here tonight, you'd still be a drunk if it wasn't for Jesus. You'd still be an addict if it wasn't for Jesus. You'd still be sleeping around if it wasn't for Jesus. Because God came into your life and changed you. Now we've got to take that back to people that are hurting. We've got to take that back to the people that are captive. They're still captive of their sins. We've got to tell them the good news. We've got to tell them you don't have to live like that. There's more to life. God is not limited. All things are possible, and He wants to use you. I know that might sound really bizarre, and it might be beyond your comprehension, but you are the only you God made. You're thinking, praise the Lord. But here's my point. Mercy shown by you has a different aroma to it than when it's shown by me. It's different on everybody. Love, when it's expressed by you, is different than it is by me or anyone else. Even though we may have the same gift or similar gifts, the way it comes out is completely different. That's why God wants all of us to be involved. Please do not minimize your effect on the body of Christ and how much your involvement in someone's life might be able to make such a difference in their life that they come to know Jesus Christ and be set free simply because of a handshake or a hug or a song or a prayer. And only you can do it that way. A simple stick can do miracles. Feel like that sometimes, don't you? Just a block of wood. But even a shepherd's staff in God's hand has turned into a miracle. A dirty hand can be made clean. Many of us had dirty hands before Jesus. And with the Lord, you and I don't need security blankets. If it's money that's keeping you from doing what you feel God's called you to do, I want to challenge you. Go to the Lord and ask Him to make a path for you to do it, and you'll do it. Because what seems impossible to you is not impossible with the Lord. And let the Lord be your security blanket. You don't need any other. And I'll make this last statement, then I'll close. It is better to stand in the position of leadership alone than to compromise what the Lord wants to do by adding someone that has a divided heart. It is better to stand in the position of leadership alone than to compromise what the Lord wants to do by adding someone who does not have any vision for it. Aaron did not have a vision for it. He wasn't the man God called. So when God begins to call you out, don't be surprised if other people around you don't completely understand you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this time together to stir hearts. That we would begin to dream dreams and have visions. That we would begin to see you as big as you really are. And Lord, to not cap off our life, to not say, I can't do that. Or the Lord would never want to do that in my life, or the Lord could never use me like that. That's just simply not true. Lord, you're looking for vessels. You're searching for someone who has a heart for you. Someone who's willing to say, I don't have it all figured out. I just know I want to serve the Lord. And Lord, if we will allow that, you will do tremendous things in our life. With your heads bowed, before I close this evening, you guys know me. I can't go very often. I can't leave here without seeing if there's maybe one of you that wants to know the Lord tonight. Give your heart to Him. Because you see, all the rest is smoke and mirrors without Jesus. It doesn't mean anything without Jesus. If we bring you to the goal through the teaching and don't give you some of the goal or give you a chance to partake of it, it's useless. So all of this is to bring you to the most prized possession, and that's Jesus. So I've got to ask you, if you're here tonight, haven't given Him your life, would you tonight? Would you give Him a chance? If you have lived your life and you feel like you've done such a bang-up job that it couldn't be better, then you can ignore what I'm saying. But if you lived your life and you kind of messed it up, give God a chance. How can it be worse than what you've done so far? Let Him redeem it. Let Him make it into something good, guys. God sees you as beautiful. And God sees you as a creation that He wants to do awesome things in. And you know what? His forgiveness is already there, but you've got to reach out and grab it. You've got to make it real for you. And that's part of inviting Him into your heart. If you're here tonight, you've never prayed that prayer, or you've never meant it. But God's doing something in your heart tonight, and it's meant. I'd love to pray with you if you'd raise your hand. Anyone slip up their hand and say, "Pastor John, that's me." God bless you. Welcome to the family. Anyone else? You know what, guys? Scripture says the heavens rejoice. The angels rejoice when one soul is saved. I don't know if you understand what a miracle it is. That's bringing the dead to life when someone gives their heart to Jesus, because they were dead before Jesus and now they're alive in Christ. What a wonderful thing. Anyone else want to join this young man in giving their heart to Jesus? I'm going to pray with him, and then I want to launch one more prayer before we close. For the fellow that raised his hand, or if you raised your heart but didn't get the hand up, please say this prayer with me. Lord, forgive me. I want you in my life. I may not have a lot of answers. Probably got more questions than I do answers, but I'm willing to trust you that you'll work it out, that you'll show me, that you'll change me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and giving me new life. Now, Father, fill me with Holy Spirit to overflowing, that I might have the strength and the power to live for you, never turning back, and make something good out of my life, Lord. Thank you. Second prayer before we close. You're a Christian. Maybe you've made this prayer, but you've had a little hard time getting up and getting rolling. And maybe you just need a little help, and you just need a little loving. You just need the Lord to throw His arms around you and love you tonight. And for you to know that He's not displeased with you. He loves you. And that if you'll give Him a chance, just like Moses, He'll do all that He needs to do in your life. Anybody that applies to that needs prayer tonight? I see your hand. Yes, 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 yes. Father, may you wash my brothers and sisters. May they feel like when the service is over, they've had their feet washed, that they've been cleansed and forgiven, because that's what you desire of us, Lord. May they know that you love us. You gave your Son to die for us, to show us, to prove to us that you love us. Why would you condemn us now when you've forgiven us of so much? So, Lord, may you give us the power and the strength to walk close to you, to see ourselves as you see us. In Jesus' name, amen.